The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, April 19th. We got a lot to talk about. The Knicks have won six in a row. We're talking about Stan Van Grumpy, the Spurs getting fined for resting players, and we're doing a Q&A. We got some great, crazy-ass questions from some of you guys who emailed in. We thank you for that. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
And LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
Hello, guys.
The Knicks have won six games in a row, and Knicks Twitter, which they have not been relevant since Twitter existed, is so excited that the phrase six in a row was trending on Twitter today. How much fun is it to have Knicks fans getting to be crazy assholes on Twitter, bro? I hope that they keep playing well so that I can see Desus and Mero and everyone else being total obnoxious dickheads on Twitter.
I love Knicks Twitter because they celebrate every fucking thing, right? And I'm a big fan of celebrate everything. That whole act like you've been here before. Fuck that, bro. Whatever you can find joy in and celebrate that shit. You know, they've the Knicks have won six straight. I think in their last 45 games, they're like 26-19, which is pretty damn good for the Knicks. Julius Randle is looking like an all-NBA guy. I mean, there's a lot for Knicks fans to be happy about this season. You know, that first round ass whooping is coming, but you know, baby steps here.
Yeah, they still seventh in the East, I think. You know what I mean? So yeah, they finna get that ass whooped, but I don't, Tyler, are you still Knicks Twitter? You were Knicks Twitter for a second. Do you consider yourself that anymore?
I kind of look at them from a place of good for y'all, but I'm never coming back. You know what I mean? You know, I just couldn't do
enjoy
that.
Enjoy the projects. That's what you
right, that. Right. Like, you know, I wish them the best. I'm glad they're enjoying this ride, but I have no parts to hop back on that. Hell no.
That's exactly how I feel every time I'm flying out of New York. You just looking down like it was real. I got to get the fuck out of here though, bro.
Julius Randle's last 5 days, 33, 44, 32, 34, 26.
Ridiculous.
Not Jason bad. Concepcion said that Julius Randle plays like an overworked dad. Like he plays so wearily, but he plays wearily, but very, very like viciously and efficiently too, which I think is perfect. I love that about basketball, that you can play with personality. Someone could describe you as weary.
I mean, the league's more fun. Old man game and shit like that, yeah.
Right. The league's more fun when the Knicks are good. So is Twitter, but I'm not really.
You don't give a fuck, though. You don't give a fuck about the Knicks.
No, I don't. No, I don't. KL. You are exactly right.
I get it. Okay, Stan Van Grumpy. I want to talk about our guy, SVG. Really kind of embarrassing defensive lapse from the Pelicans at the end of their loss earlier today. And Stan Van Gundy said, where you had, I believe it was Lonzo, left a three-point shooter in the corner to crash on a guy driving for a layup when the Pelicans were up by three with 6 seconds left in the game. Stan Van Gundy said, we played like that. We deserve to lose. And then he said, high school seniors make the correct play with 5.8 seconds left.
Was it Bledsoe? Because I remember, I think Bledsoe gave us a quote where he was like, I just wasn't thinking. Like, bro, how are you not thinking with the game on the line, dude? Like, I completely understand Stan losing this shit right there. That's got to be frustrating. And Eric Bledsoe is a frustrating player to coach, so I completely understand him there.
And Bledsoe is generally, I mean, he's a good defensive player. You know what I'm saying?
That's one of his saving graces.
Right. That's why he's in the league, probably. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I would say that more than anything else. And yeah, that's just a bad decision. But I don't know. They're 10th in the West. I mean, they have some guys on the team. You know, Ingram's not having the best year. You know what I'm saying? Zion's having a fucking what the fuck is happening last year. You know what I'm saying? Zoe is having a really, really good year. They got Bledsoe. Like, I don't – why are they so fucking bad? You know what I'm saying?
Because they do shit like running to the paint when they're up.
But isn't that coaching? Like, you know, SVG, come on, man. You know what I mean? Like,
hidden inside of every coach saying his team played like a high school team is a man who's feeling very insecure about the fact that his team made him look stupid, because it's 100%. I mean, they need to know time and situation, obviously, but whose job is it to make sure they know time and situation?
Right. So I don't know, man. Like, I've been looking at the Pelicans like, damn, bro. Like, they should have, every time I see them play, I'm like, they're a better team than their record. You know what I mean? When you look at the people they have, but I don't know, man. It's odd to see them have those like a lapse like that. But like I said, I think that's some of these issues are coaching. So yeah
it's security. I do think it's coaching a bit, but I don't think Stan's on the hot seat, because when the Pelicans picked up Stan, I was like, he's going to work wonders with Zion, right? Because you know Stan's whole shit is space the floor out. You know, let's work inside outside defense, right? You give me a guy who can score in the paint and some shooters, and you know I'll get you some wins. And he's maximized the shit out of Zion so far. Like, Zion has been absolutely ridiculous this season. So, you know, as long as you're still getting something out of your franchise player, I don't think your job is in jeopardy, but he's got to figure the rest of this shit out. Maybe he'll, you know, I don't know if you want to have him to have some input on personnel moves after his stint in Detroit, right? Like, he traded out fucking Dinwiddie, you know what I mean? Like, he made a lot of bad moves there, but you know, I think give him another season with some adjustments to this roster, and then
Zion might be going to the Knicks though. Zion might
instead, in another 5 years.
Zion, even that rookie extension, those 25 mil on the table. No rookie does that. But
Zion made it clear how much he enjoys having money. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a very rare personality. I could see leave the rookie extension money, but he's not that dude, nor should he be. Yeah. I mean, you turn it down quite a bit of money. The Stan Van Gundy getting pissed off at his team for a lapse and saying they're worse than high school guys is why he should not be involved in personnel decisions. Like, your personnel decision needs to be the accountant. You know what I mean? The coach needs to be the dude that gets in the locker room and fires them up and says, now is the right time to go say you guys are playing like eighth graders to the media or whatever.
You don't want emotion going into those, you know, personnel moves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether in life or in basketball, yes. Make personnel decisions rationally.
Shooty hoops. Yeah, that's a good point. For sure.
This story ties into what we've been talking about. And the only reason we didn't lead this podcast with KD, you know, banging his thigh and being out is because basically, if you're an NBA podcast, it's turned into the fucking injury report for the last 2 months. And I think that's boring for all of us. So that's not what we're leading with. But on a day that KD goes out injured, the NBA fined the San Antonio Spurs $25,000 for violating their resting rules, which state that you cannot rest multiple healthy players in a single game when you're on the road, I believe, which they did at Phoenix. They rested DeMar and Patty Mills. You know, the NBA basically is just saying we're comfortable putting it out there that we don't think our schedule is why all these injuries are happening, and we're going to hold you to the same rules, et cetera, et cetera. I was just kind of like surprised by this, because this all anyone has been talking about is whether or not the NBA schedules cause injuries. We've been talking about it for 2 weeks. So what are they thinking? Like, how do you simultaneously enforce rules like this and allow the teams that work with these players to make sure everyone's healthy?
Dude, didn't they find Raptors as well? They find the Raptors as well, mm-hmm. I believe. You know what I mean? Like, and they put out something that's saying that the injuries are down 6%. So they're like they don't believe at all that, you know, they're this schedule where people are playing 6 games in 8 days and 5 games in 7 days is causing injuries. And I think when you look at the top guys, how the fuck, like, you know, Dame's out right now. Like, everybody, you know, all the top guys, and like, they've missed minutes. Also, with the COVID shit, I think 150 players have missed minutes too. There's and even with them not playing, the injuries are still close to similar. You know what I mean? And they're not practicing. You know what I mean? And they don't have shoot around. So, I mean, there's something there. You know what I mean? But they're ignoring that.
Yeah, and it's like the Spurs are the team that invented load management, right? like they, right. You know, they started that shit with their big three, when Timmy and Tony and Manny were 35 plus, and you know, they needed them for those playoff runs where they were still getting rings and shit. So they invented the whole load management shit. So, you know, they more, I feel like the Spurs more than any other organization knows, you know, the gruel and the wear and tear and how that affects players' bodies and their performance, right? So, you know, to see them sitting, you know, Patty Mills and DeMar here when they're, you know, they have no aspirations of winning a championship. The Spurs aren't a championship team, but they're still preserving their guys here. I think that says a lot, though. You know what I mean? I think that's something that points to how grueling and demanding this schedule has been.
I mean, the Spurs are the 10th best team in the league, and they're playing Phoenix that night. Sit them. The fuck? You know what I mean? Like, you know, Phoenix, I think, is a game out of number one. You know, like, you're going to get that ass whooped regardless. That's the day to sit DeRozan. You know what I mean?
Right. The resting rules fascinate me because anywhere that sports leagues have to legislate the overlap between them being a competitive championship product and them being an entertainment product, I just find endlessly interesting. And the fact that those rules state different rules from when you're on the road, because they're like, well, maybe some kid in Phoenix was dreaming about seeing DeMar DeRozan in person for the first time. Like, it's just an interesting thing because you're talking about health and safety. You're talking about load management and teams wanting to make sure guys are healthy. If I was the NBA, I mean, as guys continue to get bigger and longer, like the injury, like the health of your best players, I don't think they're worried enough about it, to be honest with you.
It's weird how much this seems like they aren't. You know what I mean? It's odd. You know what I mean? But I think Fred VanVleet said something. I read this that he said this is the most unpure year of basketball he's ever seen.
Unpure?
I'm pretty unpure. Where it's just like, bro, man, I mean, like, you know, all this COVID shit, whatever. Obviously, that's part of it. But, like, this decisions the league's made, it just seems gross. You know what I mean? It just seems gross. You know what I'm saying? Now you're adding a play-in tournament on top of that. Let's get more money.
You know I would say the timing of the pandemic worked out a lot better for Major League Baseball than for the NBA. The NBA was mid-season, rounding towards the playoffs when shit started. They had to, you know, hump the bubble in the middle of it, and then you got fans kind of starting to trickle back in like midway through the season. Major League Baseball, it was like, yeah, last year was weird, and now it's pretty much back to normal with less fans. You know what I mean? Like, it's just everything about this season has felt like a COVID season. So I would agree with him in that regard.
Are the Olympics even still happening this summer?
Yeah. The Olympics.
Because that's what the whole squeeze is for, is so, you know, we can roll out Team USA and shit.
The Olympics probably are happening. The fact that Japan is actually significantly more anti-vaccine than the United States of America is kind of imperiling that, because they are fully into the fourth wave, you know, a new wave. So the most recent exchange that happened was that I think it was the mayor of Tokyo and the head of the Japanese Olympic Committee basically came out and said, I don't know if we're going to be able to do the Olympics. And the head of the IOC came out and said, you're going to do the Olympics. Like, and I, you know, like the contract state, you're doing the fucking Olympics, you know? So I think they're going to go forward. It's going to be a real Frankenstein situation. I actually just got word that I will not be going to cover it. The plan pre-pandemic was, you know, I was going to go cover it, but they're really going to limit who all they're allowing to go in because it's going to have to be a full bubble. There's no foreign spectators allowed, which if you've ever been to or covered an Olympics, that's the whole point of, if there's anything pure left about the Olympics, that's the point, you know, is people coming together to see the shit. So some version of the Olympics will happen as a kind of Frankenstein COVID bubble event, Tyler, but how many NBA guys are opting into that? I'm going to go just play on TV. I already play on TV. I'm not going to play on the world stage in front of, you know what I mean? Like, I'll be real curious to see who signs up for that, especially the way that this season's gone in the NBA.
How much money is made through, like, NBA has these contracts where they make money off of advertising and whatnot, you know what I'm saying? How much money is made on the Olympics? Like, you know,
$1 trillion.
It's just so much money. That's the old boy's like, you're having the fucking Olympics. I mean, it's just.
He can tell the nation of Japan and the mayor of Tokyo, you're having the Olympics, because they probably signed a contract where he would own Tokyo if they don't have the Olympics.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, so much money.
It's so much money, and it's a different, like, it's like Bond villain money. It's like, it makes America, you know what I mean? You're talking about the international corporatocracy.
Like, this, like, this is a lot of countries' GDP. You know what I mean?
or bigger than that. All right. Steph Curry has officially put the chopper away and is shooting with the flamethrower now. coming off his
way.
what you retweeted that?
Chopper Rooney with the scope diddly. But it was funny though. But we've been like saying folks had choppers, you know, when they got a gun, if they can shoot, you know what I'm saying? He got a gun, he's got a chopper.
He's got the chopper Rooney. He just had his 10th straight game of 30 or more, 47 for the Warriors. I mean, you know, he ties Kobe's streak, 10 with 30 plus. How much fun is it just watching him do this? I'm watching Warriors games again.
Listen, and they're in 10th, and they're still hella fun. He's hit like 54 threes in 7 games. Bro. He's had 3 games where he's hit 10 or more fucking three-pointers. It's insane.
Bro, the motherfucker had an over-the-body, left-hand,
oh my God,
4-point play, hook shot. What the fuck was that? I have never seen anything like that in my fucking life, bro. A left-handed 4-point play hook shot. What the fuck?
Double clutch.
Yeah. He's just on some different shit this season, man. The question I have now is, you know what I'm saying? I thought, like, you know, 2016 was the best ball he played, of course, ridiculous season, though, a season ages. I didn't think he could ascend to that level again. But if he's still playing that way 5 seasons later, like, you know, how long is this peak going to be, man? Because, you know, his game isn't that grueling on the body. He's very, I don't want to say like conservative or whatever, but he takes the right risk when he plays. You know what I mean? He creates his shots off the dribble. He's not really a dude who wants to initiate contact and all that. He takes care of his body. And I'm just wondering how much longer is this peak going to be, because his game is built to last well into old age, you know?
We said this like 3 or 4 years ago, talking about this man got an old man game, bro. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he yanks, he crossed the shit out of you and shoot in your face in the easiest ways on the knees possible. You know what I mean? Like the way he's not going
the most low impact way possible.
The most low impact way to embarrass a human. You know, that's how he plays. You know what I mean? But like, I'll say this, maybe 2015, 2016 was the best we've seen this stuff. This is the most fun. You know what I mean? Like, this is obviously it's a great, like, it's great. You know what I mean? He's still the level is insane, but I'm having a ball watching this dude, bro. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we're sending the bat signal out now when Steph is, you know, going off. Uh-oh, Steph got the chopper out. You know what I mean?
Steph is back in the group chat. Right.
Right, he's back in the group chat. You know, y'all watching the game. You know what I mean? So, like, hey, Steph is different, bro. He's shooting like 15 threes a game, and I want more. Add 5 more. You know what I mean? Shoot 20 threes a game. Let's see what the fuck happens. You feel me?
I want to contextualize the stats, because he's one of those rare athletes left who, like, is throwing up stats that just make you, like, kind of tilt your head and think for a second. He now has 20 games with 10 plus threes. Number 2 is Clay with 5. Which is also the number that Clay has, which is also the number that Steph has this season.
Right.
So again, Clay is number 2 with 5 all time. Steph has 3 in the last 4 games.
Yes. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Shooting 50% from the field. I wonder what he's shooting in the last like 6 games when he's like really going off. I wonder what his percentages are, because it's just insane. Jason Tatum going crazy too. We don't talk about Tatum a lot. And you don't say he's doing – you said what?
Your boy.
My boy. You feel me, STL? You know what I mean? But, nah, like, Jason Tatum been going crazy too. Yeah, closing out games looking good. I think the game before last, he didn't have as good of a game. But, you know, Jaylen Brown was looking crazy. Like, the Celtics, they're going to give somebody some trouble in the first round. Yeah. You know what I mean? They might make it to the second round, though, because I think they'll make it into the top 4 before the season's over. You know what I'm saying? They have a chance to.
It's like Jason Tatum is progressing on the level that we, you know, kind of predicted. He's on that trajectory. Yeah. But Jaylen, bro, he's taking some leaps that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. Like, Jalen is phenomenal, dude.
I didn't believe Jalen would be Jalen until like last year. And I was like, okay, I see what everybody was talking about. Mm-hmm. And then he took another big step this year.
Yeah.
You know, there was a, you know, there's a point in time where you're shooting like 50 and 42 from the fucking field or 43 something. Like, that'd be crazy. But Jalen is a great basketball player. They have two guys that can take over games. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like they'll be good. And they've got hit worse by like COVID than any team. I think that's the actual fact. You know what I mean? They've had more people miss due to COVID than the other team. And now that people are playing, they're healthy. I think they'll make a little run. You know what I'm saying? We'll see the Celtics be the Celtics we thought they were gonna be before the season started. They won't end in like seventh, you know what I mean, or sixth like they are now.
Yeah. Kimba's gotta figure shit out. Oh, he seems to be figuring out lately.
People say Kimba might be kaput. You know what I mean?
He's had a good stretch of games recently, but we'll see in the playoffs though.
But we'll see.
You know those hot takes you post on social media? Well, now you can win up to $5,000 when you put those takes to the test on FanDuel. It's a new game called Over Under, and it's absolutely free to play on FanDuel. Here's how it works. FanDuel will set lines on things like total points or three-pointers made during every NBA on TNT broadcast. All you have to do is pick over or under for every prop. Your picks could win you a share of $5,000 during every contest. FanDuel is the exclusive home for over-under, and it's available in all 50 states, so you can play from anywhere. All you have to do is go to FanDuel.com/over-under and sign up now if you haven't done so already. Just create a new FanDuel account. If you don't already have one, it takes less than 2 minutes to sign up. Then put your takes to the test during every NBA on TNT broadcast at FanDuel.com/over-under. It could be worth up to $5,000. Age and local restrictions apply. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions. We have a brief update on our Booger Boy of the Week from last week. We're going to do Booger Boy of the Week on Thursday. I wanted to update last week's Booger Boy.
Which is the, me to be in the know on this one.
The dude who got got his face turned into Homer Simpson's jawline in the fight outside the club that Aaron Donald was at. Is recanting his lawsuit because the video shows very clearly that Aaron Donald was just trying to break the fight up.
Aaron Donald out there being the NFL man of the year, and you besmirching this man.
Besmirching!
This motherfucker ran up on 5 or 6 strangers and cleared them out for you, and that's the thanks that he gets. I'd be hot if I was Aaron Donald, bro. I might have to sue that motherfucker for this shit. Like, bro.
Nigga, fuck being famous. That's what you get for being famous. You know what I mean? Like, that's you breaking up a fight and you the one accused. But that's some defensive ass shit. He shouldn't have went to the... I'm going back to it. He shouldn't have went to the aid of a defensive. You know what I mean? A defensive's gonna try to turn that on your ass, bro. Never trust the fucking defensive. You know what I mean? That's what we learned for last week's Booger Boy of the Week.
You know, sometimes names are destiny, and that certainly has proven to be the case for DeVincent in this instance.
He's even more of a DeVincent than we thought by it actually not being Aaron Donald. You know what I mean? Like,
Aaron Donald, Defensive Player of the Year on the field and off the field.
There we go.
Props to Aaron, man. Good dude, man. And you tried to besmirch that man because you got fucked up. He ain't had shit to do with that, bro. Damn. I'm hot for Aaron on that shit, man. Like, imagine someone lying on you to the public about you doing the complete opposite of what you did, right?
You were a good Samaritan and then get your fucking name smeared on social media.
He was a good dude at a club at 3:00 in the morning. Right,
with no one probably too.
Who's a good guy at 3 a.m., bro? Like,
in an alley. Like, shit could have went real bad,
right,
bro.
Right. Man, risked a lot for you. You know what I mean?
He could have just decided, I bet I could kill everyone here and get away with it. You know what I mean?
Or he could have decided to walk the fuck away and nobody would have questioned it. You know what I mean? You were getting the alley and that eye was getting beat the fuck up. They took turns with that motherfucking eye, dog. You know what I mean? Damn, a regular nigga did that to you? Shit. Aaron Donald would get it. You let a John do this shit to you, dog? God damn.
Shit. Terry did that too.
Terry did that to a DeVincent. You let a Ronald beat that eye up, nigga. Fuck out of here. All right, we got one more thing to talk about before we get to our Q&A segment, what we're very excited about. But I have to talk to you guys about this. This fucked me up this week.
Okay, man.
The United States Department of Defense confirmed that leaked video from an Air Force jet of a UFO is real, which basically means they've confirmed that there's UFOs flying around in American airspace.
That unidentified flying object could be another.
Yes. Like, yes, that's what I'm saying. That's a broad term. Have they confirmed that it was alien spacecraft? Yeah. Have they confirmed
that? It could have been Russia chilling up there on some other shit. You know what I mean?
The Pentagon has confirmed the unidentified flying objects moving through the cloud. The video was taken by Navy personnel. The military's Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force is investigating these three strange, which, by the way, the confirmation that we
that's
have.
That's how you know we got aliens.
That's what I'm saying.
That's how you know we got aliens. That's we have a department
clue.
Of that. Right? Yeah.
That's some Men in Black shit, bro. You feel me?
One appears, did you watch the video?
No, I didn't see it.
One of them is like triangle shapes. Another one is like shaped like an acorn, but it rotated in a way that nothing that human beings have built does while it's flying through the fucking atmosphere. And another one is described as a metallic blimp, which moves like a rocket. Beyond confirming the phenomenon is unexplained, the DOD will not provide additional information for security reasons. The military says they don't want to provide information that would be helpful to adversaries, presumably
aliens.
Adversaries on Earth. Oh. But yeah, I mean, like, at this point, this is the second time the government has confirmed that footage of UFOs was taken on, like, the best planes that the military has constructed. The planes probably cost as much as every college that we all went to put together, like, to build a college. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. Like, why is this not a bigger fucking, like, why did the Earth not stop a couple days ago for everyone to go, oh, there are aliens and they are potentially flying around the Earth from time to time? This
we were
doesn't
too
like
busy watching Miles Bridges boom on people, bro. Miles Bridges had our attention. I don't know, bro. I don't know.
Bro, I feel like there was an incident a year or two back where we had some shit fall from like the sky, and it was an alloy that we could not identify. Like they didn't know what the mixture is.
Like the metal that,
you know, an alloy is a mixture of multiple metals, and they're we don't know what these multiple metals are, but there's something out there that combined them. And I thought that was like the telltale sign that there's fucking aliens, and no one gave a fuck about that either. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think people are really going to give a shit about aliens unless they actually fucking step down and visit us or some shit, right?
Yeah, if we see a body, that's when it's going to be like, dun-dun-dun-dun. You know, if they just pull up and just, you know, want to watch a fucking Braves game with us, we're cool. You know what I mean? shoot a beer up to the stratosphere. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think they're really tripping off of that.
Tyler was referencing with the alloys was it was revealed, I believe, in 2017 that the United States government has a warehouse in Nevada that is filled with alloys and other materials believed to be associated with UFOs because, as you said, we don't know what they are.
Yeah.
So I just like, I feel like our whole childhood, it was this like question culturally, but also, at least to me, I thought about it a lot. Like,
bro, UFOs were so big in the 90s, bro. UFOs and the impending killer bee invasion from Mexico was shit that kept me up at night in 91, bro.
Yes. And now they're the government, the people that were always in every movie and TV show lying about there being aliens, the government is like, yeah, it's aliens, and everyone's like, all right, bro, like, cool.
Yeah.
It's not even a big, like, bro, I remember in the 90s when, like, buffalo were, like, in danger. I remember there was a big Save the Buffalo movement in the 90s, and now you can get a fucking bison burger at Applebee's. Like,
and
what the fuck?
Motherfuckers been slapping, too. Big
fire. Yeah, bison is delicious. And I remember
did y'all see Fire in the Sky? Did y'all ever see that movie, Fire in the Sky? It was supposed to be, like, a true story about aliens. That shit, I remember that shit had me up at night. And I remember, like, there was, like, a blue and, like, tan like I had all the lights on in the basement, right? And there was like a blue and tan rug that like was balled up, and I thought I saw the face of Jesus in it. So it made me comfortable to fall asleep that night. Because when I saw it, I was so scared that I was like, I remember standing in the hallway in seventh grade. I stayed in the basement, and I went upstairs to stand in the hallway in seventh grade, like to kind of like, you know, because I couldn't sleep and I didn't want to be downstairs because that movie scared the shit out of me. And my mom walking out of her room like, what the fuck? You don't get your ass back downstairs. And I kept all the lights on. And I'm thinking, I was a crazy kid, bro. I'm really realizing that, dog. But I saw the face of Jesus, I thought, in like a rug. And it made me comfortable to fall asleep that night. And then the rest of the nights were cool. But Fire Sky, alien movie, check it out. That shit scared the fuck out of me as a kid.
I can understand being scared of an alien movie as a kid. Finding comfort in Jesus' rug face is, that's where you lose me, bro.
Bro, like, I mean, we're just
the difference between growing up religious and not growing up religious. Right,
I needed something to kind of like make me feel normal, bro. I knew aliens were going to come and snatch me, because that's what happened. Like, they snatched these people up and like, yeah, it was, they did these experiments on them and shit, and I knew what was going to happen to me. And so I couldn't go upstairs. Mom told me to get my ass downstairs when she walked into the hall and saw me standing around in that motherfucker.
I swear, the scariest alien shit to ever happen in a movie is that half a second that we see that motherfucker in Signs at that Mexican birthday party. That shit made me jump out my fucking seat the first time I saw that shit, bro. Yeah.
That was the scariest and funniest part, too, because I laughed when he was like, vamanos. Vamanos children before that. And I think it was in Brazil, so they speak Portuguese. I saw that in the tweet, but yeah, that shit was that was funny. That movie was hella good too. I think that's the only movie he's made that I really, really fucked with. You know what I mean?
It was the clearing fucking plot hole about this intelligent fucking super. If an alien race can master interstellar travel, and they pick the planet that is 80% of what they're deathly allergic to.
Which, by the way, I mean, our instruments are good enough to detect whether there's water on other planets. But the aliens that have the technology to come here missed the fact that 80% of the planet is covered.
Did you like the movie, guys?
I didn't really fuck with it like that, bro. Really? I don't really fuck with any of his movies. No, I mean, that part scared
me. Baseball bat at the end? Scared me. Swing away? Man. Oh God, man! No sentimentality from you guys. I thought it was beautiful. I love that fucking movie.
I cannot. I remember. Oh, what was this shit? The Village.
I actually yelled the word water in the movie theater.
Bro, I yelled what the fuck in the movie theater at the Village. Yeah.
I watched The Village. The Village was horrible, but I've seen it. I've watched like seven times. I like how The Village looks and feels. I don't necessarily like the plot itself, you know what I mean?
His best shit to me, like, he's better at world building to me than the plot twist shit is like,
Didn't he have like a mermaid video he made too, like where like somebody turned into a mermaid in a bath or some shit?
Yeah, he said he started like a bedtime story tradition of keeping this story going with his daughter, and you didn't need to share that with us.
Should have kept that, buddy.
Plot twist, his daughter is actually not his daughter.
Right. M. Night Shyamalan. You know what I mean, right?
That fucking guy
there.
M. Night Shyamalan is
Right. That fucking guy. It's always tough when you come on the scene with something that everyone loves, like Sixth Sense, and then you make movie after movie after movie after movie, and the fucking log line on every trailer is still from the director who brought you The Sixth Sense.
Right, this is your eighth movie,
bro.
You gotta
be watching these trailers like, I made 40 other fucking movies.
Right, what the fuck? Hey, Sixth Sense was a call.
Oh, yeah, Sixth Sense, that's bulletproof. That's untouchable.
100%. When he turned around, when old boy turned, you want to see, and he turned around and the back of his head was blown off. I remember, that was one of the most shocking moments of a movie I've ever seen. You know what I mean? That was so subtle. It was so brilliant.
All right, we're introducing a new segment. It is JJATQTNA. Jenkins and Jones answers the questions they're not asking.
Mikael. I can fuck out of it. We sound like the military. JJQTNA. Sunday.
We put it out there, you know, for anyone to email in some questions. Very open-ended. If you were having problems with your dating life, if you wanted to know what kind of cologne John is wearing when he's golfing, like whatever, just like send the questions
Chanel
in.
Chanel Blue. Fuck with
we got we got a bunch of really good questions. We obviously don't have time to read almost all of them, but thank you so much to everyone who sent them in. We'll probably save some of them for the future. We'll throw this out every now and then. I like this. I like it. We got
every
some,
Sunday. Let's do it. Every Sunday we'll have. Send us your emails.
We got some interesting shit. Okay, question one. And I'm going to try and we'll try and go through them with a little bit of pace so we can get to more than one of them. you can pick one animal to defend you in a battle royale. This is from Theo. You can pick one animal to defend you in a battle royale against other animals. Which one are you picking to hide behind?
Okay, I got a question. And we can decide rules. Can these animals been animals that have existed on the planet at any time?
I'm going to say yes to make it more.
Wow. Okay. I can't make a decision right now. Y'all go ahead. There's so many animals.
If we're doing all time an animal to defend you,
I'm going to say T-Rex.
I'd say a brachiosaurus because a T-Rex can't take down a brachiosaurus.
You talking about a brontosaurus or a brachiosaurus? Which one is?
Brachiosaurus is the one with the hole in the head.
Is just a tall one, but the brachiosaurus is actually tall. Yeah.
But if you get the problem is if you get a really big, like a whale-sized dinosaur like that, I mean, if this coyote is coming after you, they're just going to run. You know what I mean? They're just going to run.
Bro,
right.
I feel like one tail swoop can take out the whole fucking field from one of those motherfuckers.
It's a herbivore, though. I think that works against it.
But they defend themselves. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
Like, they didn't really have natural predators because they were so big and they knew not to fuck with them. You know, the same way lions don't fuck with elephants. You know what I mean?
What if we take out the Jurassic era? What if we take those eras out?
Oh, we still have the Triassic and the Cretaceous?
Well, I mean, the dinosaur eras, take those out. But like,
you understand that when you say the dinosaur eras, you're talking about 800 million years.
Okay, but I'm saying, I feel you on that. But I'm saying, like, let's talk about, like, you know.
Like current animals?
Ice age.
I would say a gorilla.
Like a saber-tooth, bro.
I would say a gorilla at that point.
A saber-tooth will fuck a gorilla's whole world up, bro. Saber-tooth tiger.
What was that fucking huge ass bear that we saw from the Ice Age?
Megaloid something shit.
That shit was like 30 feet tall on its
highways. All of North America used to be covered in these giant fucking mammals before they got hunted out of existence. But like, did you know that avocados are like that? Because there used to be a giant sloth in the North Americas that would eat the avocado and it would poop the pit out the same way that, you know, animals do with smaller fruit. And the problem for the avocado tree is that animal's been extinct, but they just evolved to, you know, spread themselves that way. But there's like, there were lions in North America that were twice as big as the lions that are in Africa right now. There was a bear that you were just talking about that was like 10 times bigger than a modern bear or whatever. That bear, that might be tough to turn down.
Yeah. They showed a human standing up next to that thing. And it was like, it wasn't next to it. It was under it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that's, I think the bear is a move. The mega bear.
Would you rather, are we all on board with the mega bear?
Mega fucking bear.
Mega fucking bear.
Hell yeah.
Would you rather have unlimited first class tickets to anywhere in the world or never have to pay for food ever again in a restaurant?
Oh, never have to pay for food. That's an easy one for me.
Yeah. Cause food is life. You know what I mean? Like food is like one of the best part of, like, I love food. So yeah, I think that's it.
I mean, I would probably functionally say food because I don't really like have free time to go anywhere, but like you turning down just being able to go to fucking Italy or Africa or fucking Japan anytime you want.
But you gotta
pay for
like housing and food there and all that shit too. So you gotta think about all that. You can get a buddy pass and get that type of living.
Everywhere
right
I've
now,
ever
dude.
Traveled internationally, it was because I had free travel or free housing. You know what I mean?
And then you think about it, bro. Like you fly out to Rome or Tokyo or whatever, you can go to the most expensive fucking restaurant there for free. You know what I mean?
Also,
right? You know, $3,000 appetizer for nothing.
How much money would you save by eating? Like, all the time. My Uber Eats be looking dummy. You feel me? That much shit. That's a damn bill for a week.
You would never see Shar and I.
Right.
You would
never see Shar and I. You know what I'm saying?
The money saved on food would be travel money.
You know what? At least a flight, nigga.
I'm gonna say travel because I would kill myself with the food shit. I would be a Wingstop for breakfast, bro.
My whole body would be filling up the square, dog.
You would cut my vein open.
Body and just a head in the middle of that.
Pure saturated fat would just be falling out of my veins. Okay. This is from. Hold on. Let me. That was from. No, wait. Who the fuck was that from? That was from Johnny Mangano. Thank you for the question. Jacob Rosenfarb asks. John tweeted today a video of his little brother mossing the fuck out of someone. Your little brother's in eighth grade?
My little brother's in eighth grade. He's 14. His hands have been bigger than mine since he was in seventh grade. And I wear like XL like gloves. You know what I mean? Like, dude is just an animal. Like, I was thinking about this also. My sister's a doctor. The other one's studying for the MCAT. My other sister's the coolest person I know. My brother is one of the fastest people in the nation. And my other brother's 5'11". At 14, I'm the cum rag baby.
You're
I'm the oldest.
You're a podcast guy, bro. Don't
yeah, I'm bro. I was built for it. I'm built for podcasts. They're built for like actually doing things. I'm built to talk about the things they do. I'm the cum rag baby of the family. I'm not mad at it. I'm happy as an older brother that they're so, you know, dope. But yeah, my little brother's, he's a dog, bro. Second year playing football, and is the best receiver in the state. You know what I'm saying? In his class, not as a whole, in his class.
So Jacob asked, and I'm going to rephrase his question a little bit. Inspired by John's league-bound brother, which would you rather do? Posterize someone or moss them?
Posterize.
Oh, yeah. Posterizes. Yeah.
I've dunked on a couple people while playing. Not a lot. I can remember two people. And that, nigga, that feeling, I felt like, I think that's like the closest thing I've ever done to doing coke. Like, the close up got doing coke was dunking on a motherfucking being like you are my son. That feels like they're your child. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I don't know. But maybe because I haven't mossed anybody before, but dunking on somebody is.
I said mossing someone. So his actual question is, which is more offensive? And there's a certain mossing someone does not happen very, it doesn't happen as often. So the really great, like the Miles Bridges dunks, I mean, fuck, like, of course. You know what I mean? But would I rather, like, you know, jump off 2 feet and dunk it with two hands? Or, like, you can't delicately moss someone. You know what I mean?
Like, you can't delicately dunk on anybody either. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, bro, if you dunk on somebody that's body to body in the air, you know what I mean? Like, And then you can moss somebody. You don't even score, bro. You moss them. It's a great catch. And then you know what I'm saying? Go four and out after the first down or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a great catch. But, like, for me, when I don't know, man. Like, I I've never been as athletic as my little brother is right now. So maybe it's just so out of my realm of, like, you know, like, you know, I couldn't even think about it. But, like, dunking on somebody was just nasty, though.
Okay, David asks, and I'm going to shorten this one down a little bit too because he asked for a top five, but I'm just going to say, what's your number one cereal?
Oh, God.
Number one. Do you guys still eat cereal? No?
Yeah.
Do you?
I do. Well, no, I mean, like, very, like, occasionally. Like, well, I'll pick something up for the kids and I'll eat some of it.
What was the best shit that you like? Like, ooh, this shit was always fire.
I was so obsessed with Michael Jordan that I ate Wheaties, bro.
God, what the fuck?
Wheaties was kind of, that was cat, bro. Did you even at least put some sugar in that dry ass shit?
Of course.
Okay, I'm gonna say, bro.
I basically turned them into Frosted Flakes, bro.
Frosted Flakes was crazy. I would say this is kind of corny, like the little wheat joints with the cream with the white sugar on it.
Shredded wheat, the powdered
with the icing on it. That shit was kind of cold. The little joints.
Okay, what about you, Tyler?
Bro, it's between Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Fruity Pebbles for me. I keep a box of both those in the crib.
My God.
I can't pick which one because it's two totally like different flavors. You know what I mean? It's the fruity shit and the sweet shit. So, and I ain't even a sweet tooth motherfucker, but I stay with the boxes of those in the crib.
This is my problem with cereal is we did not, as you know, we didn't necessarily have the most money when I was growing up. And so what would happen would be my mom would, like, once a month, she'd get like a bag of the generic, like, Frosted Flakes. And my brother and I would make ourselves sick trying to beat each other out for, like, I'm going to eat all these fucking, you know, sugar flakes or whatever the fuck they call them. And so it's wired into my head. This is why I don't buy cereal very often, because I would literally, if I go buy a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch today, which I fucking love Cinnamon Toast Crunch, it would not see the light of day, bro. I would just like black out and eat four bowls of it without realizing what I was doing. I mean, it's like, it's I'm not proud of it. Like, it's a weakness mentally. It's wired into me. You
gotta work on that, dog.
Yeah. I feel, I love getting high and eating cereal because it's like a sensory overload in the best way, bro. It's like, you know, you got your room. You got your room temperature cereal, your cold ass milk. You know what I'm saying? The sweetness and the crunchiness and it's just so much going on and it's so delicious all the time. And when I'm high, it's like a whole other level of fucking food culinary experience.
There's something inherently jolly about eating cereal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You can't be like, that's as close as people come to bears eating honey. Like, yeah. It's just like, it's a goofy, it's like everything about it is just whimsical and like, I don't know. You never see someone depressed. Like, you can't, other than the one, you know, clip of Zeke, you can't eat cereal angry or like sad or whatever.
I mean, it goes back to what you said about you know, how when we were kids, like, that shit was kind of regulated to us. You know what I mean? Like being an adult and having to eat that shit whenever you want is kind of like, it's like the same feeling you get when you drink like three Capri Suns back to back. You know what I mean? Like, wow, I'm an adult and I can really do this shit. Yeah.
Did y'all have snacks in the house growing up? I didn't have, man. We was either eating a meal or we was hungry, dog.
Yeah.
We didn't have snacks like that, bro. Like, I mean, at the end, when they got them shits last 2 days.
John, will you come down this weekend, ask my kids how sick they are, me telling them how their Uncle Matt and I used to eat when we were kids, bro. Okay. Because these motherfuckers have snacks, and they don't understand how, they, like, they take keto? It for granted.
I go to my white homies and get snacks. I'm going to the homies' crib.
Me too.
Right. Bro, we had that drawer
that opened in the kitchen, and there's shit stacked up in there. You're like, I never like, y'all seen got a drawer snacks? Open like this.
Boxes of fruit snacks in the cupboard. You know what I'm saying? In the pantry? Like, what the fuck?
You name brand, everything name brands, you know, right? What I mean?
I'm like, damn, bro. I mean, we weren't even like down bad, but it was like we was cool, but it was like at the same time, like, bro, like I had to, like, when I had to get up and make like pancakes in like 6th or 7th grade or like scrambled eggs, you know what I mean? Like,
right, I had no cooking for my brother, yeah,
right? I had, you know, when I got home from like in 4th grade, we was making cheese bread in the oven, dog. Like, you feel what I'm saying, or balling pieces of bread and eating that motherfucking dancing because that shit was. That honey wheat bread's go crazy.
We'd have rolled up slices of bread.
That rolled up slices of bread. That was our snacks. Hey, want me a glass of sugar water, nigga? Hey, I'm bougie as a motherfucker. Pinky up, nigga. You feel me? It's good eat. You know what I mean? Fine dining. You know what I'm saying?
I put up on Twitter a while ago when we'd run out of bread, and I made my kids some peanut butter and jelly hot dog bun sandwiches.
That probably went crazy though, low key.
Somebody, yeah. Well, but it was the same thing for us. It was like, we're out of bread. I'm not getting bread for another 2 days. Like, okay, you're gonna have sourdough bread, PBJ, or hot dog. You know, you go to school with the fucking hamburger bun, PBJ, or whatever.
What is the best?
Try and eat it behind your hand, right? So people couldn't see.
What is the best bread, dog? What is the coldest bread, bro?
I will to this day eat a baguette, a good baguette, as a meal. Like, just I'll eat a baguette, like a real crusty baguette.
A baguette's like a loaf of bread you buy loaf. As a full loaf.
Yeah, okay. The skinny loaf.
The shit you eat with spaghetti, basically.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, but that's real crusty. Like, if I will literally go get one of those from Trader Joe's, and that would be my lunch.
Yeah.
Bro, when we have spaghetti night and we do like a loaf of Italian bread, bro, I will eat like half of the loaf. Just with my hand, bro. Like, Italian bread is so fucking good, dude. Bakery Italian bread, yeah.
We're a pro carbs podcast. We're split on the fucking on the sweet tooth, but we're pro carbs.
I don't be having bread at the crib, dog. I don't think I got bread in the house at all right now, bro. I like, if you saw my pops, you would get it though. Like, I'm supposed to be built like an egg, bro. I would be built like Humpty Dumpty if I was a bread eating motherfucker, dog. You know what I mean? Like, so, dog, Mr. Potato Head, body and head nigga, like, for real, dog. It'd been bad.
All right. We have a serious question, and I want to throw this in there because hopefully we can help this dude out. Josh, he says, a longtime listener, emails, I moved to small town Nebraska. Hold on. Let me just double check here. This is a black dude. Okay. I moved to small town Nebraska, just north of Omaha last year.
Already a tragic story now.
Just before, that's why I wanted to give you the context.
Okay.
He said he moved to a small town Nebraska, just north of Omaha last year, just before COVID. So it's been lonely. Dating apps are fun, but it's exhausting getting to know someone over and over again. He says, but I really like this girl I'm talking to right now. It's only been a month and change, but I'm all in. We've been on phenomenal dates, had great conversation, and her cats love me right away. She knows I like her too, so that's on the table. But he wants to know, how do I keep from coming on too strong? Any ideas for communicating that I'm being serious, but I'm not a crazy clingy person coming out of COVID lockdown? I just want to add a little bit of context here. I really feel for people whose dating situations are up in the air through this COVID shit. I mean,
yeah,
fuck. Because that is everything he said, I'd have an answer to that question until he said coming out of that lockdown. And like, that's a great point, bro. This is a difficult time to be signaling. And plus, everyone's priorities have changed. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So what do you think? How can he communicate that he likes this girl without coming off as crazy?
Listen, bro, he needs to go ahead and tell her, I'm a black man in Nebraska. I have nothing but you right now. Please. Please embark on this life in Nebraska with me. I have nothing. I am a black man in Nebraska.
Thank you, Jesus.
Me and Christ, bro, like, yeah, it's me and the motherfucker from Belly who was eating the banana. That's it.
Right.
We're the only black people in Nebraska. But no, on a serious note, man, I don't know. I've had, you know, situations where, you know, I fell for a chick and I laid it out and she's like, I was feeling like that, and it was cool, and we were still friends after that, you know what I mean? So I mean, I think you can just lay it out there without being sounding like a creep or a psycho. Just let her know that you know I like you. I want to know if we can progress further. I just want to know if feelings are mutual. If not, it's cool. I hope we can still be friends.
The right answer,
and mean it, because a lot of dudes say that shit and don't fucking mean it, you know?
The right answer is to lay it out there, because it's just, yeah, there's no other option. You can be miserable otherwise. The problem is he's in his own head because of the COVID shit. And like you said, he's in Nebraska. Like, he doesn't feel like, you know, like, oh, the next train might not be coming for a while. You know what I mean? So he's in his own head about that. But I just think you have to lay it out there when you come
Why
to that
you
point.
Why do you have to lay it out there, though? Why can't you just chill?
You, enjoy because if you're trying to build something, you gotta live.
I mean, but it's a month
person,
in.
Bro.
They a month in. The nigga didn't know, you know, the motherfucker was a human until, like, you know what I'm saying, 30 days ago, dog. Like, just, you know, like, you know, just give it a chance, you know, let it breathe a little bit, get to know each other, continue to do that, enjoy each other, enjoy, like, live in the moment. And then I think it'll come naturally and organically. If he feels uncomfortable, there may be a reason, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think he should force something that he doesn't feel comfortable doing right at this moment.
Is being transparent
feel comfortable
forcing things, though?
No, I mean, you know,
he doesn't feel comfortable because he's nervous about what would happen if she says no. But he knows how what he expressed that I am getting is that he's certain about how he feels.
Yeah, he's and certain to about me, how he feels a month that, in. Give himself a chance to really get to know her, too. Like, you don't really get to know anybody in a month. Phenomenal dates, all that too. Like, just keep letting it breathe a little bit. I think it'll become more comfortable. I think you'll become more comfortable as you get to know each other, because she'll express those same feelings for you.
Okay, next question from Hunter. Y'all take pictures of your own poop?
Hell no. What the fuck, Hunter?
The fuck type of shit? So this guy isn't black, right?
poop picture Hunter. What the
poop
fuck?
Picture ass. Bro.
Y'all have never made someone look at a picture of your poop? You had like a real long poop or something? Never.
Never.
No. No. No, no, Mikael. No.
Don't you fucking put that phone up to the screen.
Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare. You gotta have a whole album in his fucking phone, nigga. You don't look at this.
I saw him reaching for that phone. I saw him scrolling through that phone. I was like, wait a minute, motherfucker.
No. I'm looking for the next question. I'm looking for the next question.
Oh, he's trying to get out of here. He's like, okay.
Hunter, we want a follow-up email on why you take pictures of your poop, bro.
Please,
be this much invested in someone else's poop, but this is some left field shit. I need details, bro.
What are you doing with the said photos?
Yeah.
alleged poop
your
photo.
Poop looks, your poop has a face of Jesus Christ in it, or it's like,
bro, I was a crazy ass.
Or it's like
kid,
or it's like 3 feet long or something. I mean, I don't know. Face I don't feel Jesus like Christ.
I was sucking titties and still worship it.
I'm talking about. I'm talking about.
I was
like,
still enjoying myself.
Okay, yeah. This is from at Chase God. It says, huge fan of the pod, been following us. Thank you. Everyone said such nice things, by the way. Thank you. I'm not gonna read compliments to us on our own podcast, but I appreciate everything everyone said. Very nice of all you guys. Chase God says, what is better, reptiles or amphibians?
Damn,
amphibians, those motherfuckers
can, they're kind of cold. Yeah, they're kind of
cold. Amphibians can swim and live on land, bro.
Like, he says he has a crippling fear, a dislike for frogs and toads. Yeah.
But the thing that amphibians are do have a negative, a big negative, is that they have to stay moisturized, right? You put a frog out in a motherfucker in the middle of a field or some shit, that motherfucker gonna die by like high noon. But
high noon.
Right, that motherfucker gonna be a frog chip. I think I always thought amphibians were cool as fuck, bro. Like swimming and living on land, that's fucking
salamanders awesome. And shit.
Salamanders and shit. Yeah,
those are our ancestors. If it wasn't any amphibians, it wouldn't be any people. if nothing ever came out of the ocean, nothing would ever come out of the ocean. So
shit. Yeah. Oh damn.
That's I have to go with amphibians for that reason alone, bro. Just for that reason alone. Like, that's what we're descended in some way from amphibians. So,
bro, and didn't whales go back to the ocean? Like, weren't they land mammals and then mammals. They went to the fucking ocean? Yeah.
Yeah, the ocean. I believe dolphins have some sort of evolutionary thing like that as well.
I do not even want to imagine a land dolphin. That's scary as fuck. What the fuck would that even look like?
Just on ESPN talking about basketball. Just.
Breaking down all the stats, you know what I mean, with that big ass triple brain they got or whatever the fuck.
All right, Eric emails to say you have a magic garden where you can grow 5 items that will always be in perfect bloom / ripeness year round. Anything that grows in nature is in play: food, flowers, bud, etc. The only caveat is, and I appreciate people who really put parameters on these fucking questions,
bro. They know they didn't listen to the pod. Shit. They know what they know.
He said the only caveat is you cannot sell the items or give them to anyone outside of your very close friends and family. So you're not growing rare truffles and shit to sell them. What 5 items would you grow?
We can grow anything, right?
Anything.
Damn, bro. I think grapes got to be on there. That's the most fire shit.
Fresh grapes is different from, yes.
The blue ones, the purple ones that's so purple, they blue. Big country ass grapes. Some shit's fire.
Yeah, the country ass grapes that got the fucking blob of jelly in the middle around the seeds. Oh my God.
That's
some different shit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm on board with grapes.
We'll make one community garden. So we're all on board with grapes.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler, what's your next pick?
You know, I was thinking weed, but you know, I enjoy the variety of weed and the whole, you know, going to different dispensaries and you know, talking to my, you know, to my plug and getting different strains. So I don't even know if weed would make the cut. Rainier cherries. I fucking love those. Y'all ever had
those?
They're kind of like a peachish color. And they're from Washington State.
I love those.
Banging. Yeah, so that would probably be my pick.
Cherries as a whole are very underrated. We don't talk about cherries enough. This is a pro-cherry podcast here. We don't talk about it enough.
The problem with cherries is sort of similar to the problem with strawberries to me, which is, and I love strawberries as well, but there's such a wide gap between really good ones and the not so good ones. You know what I mean? So if you're talking about, you're growing perfect cherries.
You have bad cherries?
The plain Jane wild cherries, they really didn't do much for me because I had cherry candy for years as a kid before I had an actual real cherry.
Okay, like,
and I was underwhelmed because cherry candy was like, cherry candy was shitting all over a regular cherry.
It's like zebra cakes and zebras, you know what I mean? We kind of shitted on God, you know, we stunted.
Okay,
on
John,
God,
what's your next one?
Oh, let me see. You know what I'm going to say? I would like to. Can you can grow? We can grow like a whole ass of like a meal, right? Like a I think peach cobbler.
Peach cobbler is not a. What do you mean?
Grow an item. I would want to grow peach cobbler.
I thought it had to be something that naturally occurs.
It's got to be a plant, bro.
Any item. I thought I could grow a fucking shoe if I wanted to. A Jordan 4. Like, nigga.
No, he said plants. You can't. Like, yeah, that's
there are no peach cobbler crops out here, dog.
But that's what I'm saying. I thought that was the fun of the exercise, is that we could grow a. I could grow a fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Apple out here with a scythe harvesting cobbler.
I could harvest, you know, an iPhone for Tyler. Shit. I want to sell it. I give it away as a friend. You know what I mean?
Okay, so peaches. Shit.
Damn, this is, I mean, what's next? What's next? What am I really, 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 I need?
Persimmons?
Megan. Mangoes.
Mangoes. I was about to say mangoes.
Mangoes. I think those go crazy. Summertime. It'd always be right. Yeah, I need that.
I'm going to say pineapple. Because if you've ever had fresh pineapple, right, just chopped off the top of the fucking stalk, is like, I'm trying to think of what's the biggest difference between something you ate right when it came off the plant and when you got it from a store after it got shipped over from Hawaii. So I would say pineapple.
Off the plant, that shit just juice. It's not even fruit. That's juice, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right. It makes the meat of the pineapple, when you eat it fresh, it's like, that's pulp in the orange.
Right. Juice. You feel me? Dead ass. So what's the fifth one? What's the last one?
Bring it home, Tyler.
All right. You got the last slot. You got to be a banger.
Damn, bro. I feel like we got all these sweet-ass fruits, man. We need that goddamn savory vegetable or some shit. Let me think.
Green beans, fire.
I feel like cucumbers would be so basic, but I fucking love cucumbers.
Yeah, cucumbers only good in salads. They're not good, like, alone, though.
Are you wrong about that?
You never put cucumbers in like some water with some salt and pepper and left that shit in the fridge overnight and then ate them.
Yeah, that's great. And then Char has this way, I forget the name of it, but it's like a Japanese way of preparing a cucumber with some just like this certain kind of, it's like a salty water type liquid on it. That's like, I could just eat that shit till I was full, just a cucumber.
Wow, I just.
You're just a cucumber disrespecter.
I think cucumber is. The skin on cucumber is so trash to me that like I have to cut all the skin off. You know what I mean? I hate the skin so much. But I ate cucumbers since I had the salad y'all saw me banging before last week. Now I had cucumber in it, but it's always with salad. I don't have cucumber by itself.
Okay, last question, then we're gonna get out of here. We actually just got this one, so I'm gonna skip the one I was gonna do. This is from Gregory Gurley. He says he's been thinking about, you guys know who Bernie Madoff was? You saw he just died?
Yeah, Ponzi boy.
Ponzi boys. He said, how many years would you be willing to spend in prison at the end of your life to have Jeff Bezos's fortune from today until that point? He said, you can leave your family $10 million after you die, but not more than that, and you have to spend the end of your life in jail.
And you're going to plush ass Bernie Madoff country club jail, right? this is another hypothetical that, like, you know, like we mentioned the Vincent Punch hypothetical. This is one you probably would have had to approach me with in my 20s and I'd have taken you up on. You know what I mean?
Because at this point in my life,
it's about 20 years or so. You know, it's just like a 20-year, you know, been a 20-year trade-off here. So it's not really, it's breaking even. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So wait. So he's asking how many years we will be willing to do, right?
Yeah.
Like, so in order, so I could say a year.
Well, I mean, I assume it would be forfeit. It's probably a Price is Right type shit. You have to, you know what I mean? You got to guess high enough to.
Yeah. Yeah. What year did Bernie Madoff go into jail, and what year did he die? Is probably the measuring stick we should use.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. We can say, will we be willing to do what Bernie Madoff did? Cause when I was 20, I definitely would have taken, cause he was worth $64 billion when that shit fell apart, bro. Okay. So he just died. He got arrested. When was this shit? He got arrested 12 years ago. So would you be willing to spend the last 12 years in jail for $60 billion? I'm going to say no, because I would need to, if I pass that down to my kids and my grandkids, the money, you might talk to me at that point. But to me, if I'm being honest with you, I would give up most of what my family has materially for my kids to have like a month with Shar's dad. You know what I mean? And that, so I see that the, like, my kids don't have any grandpas. So to me, not to be egotistical, but I would rather have me there to help my kids out, raise their kids, et cetera, et cetera, than the money. I mean, I like my life. I don't need 60 billion. Like, I wouldn't mind
it. How old was he when he died?
He was pretty old, because as Tyler said, he was not in 90, the real like jail. He was 82. So he was in jail from 70 to 82.
Just, I'm fine with dying at 70. Just let me die at 70.
So you go into jail and just kill yourself.
No, just, well, I mean, that's kind of good. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, just let me die. I take 12 years off. I'd rather do that than go to jail for 12. And then you could just have, and then leaving all that money behind for my family forever.
Tyler's thinking. Cool.
Yeah. Jail is like trash as fuck. I don't want to do a day in that motherfucker, but I don't, like, I've mentioned before that growing old is something that I do not look forward to.
Seems like 78.
Yeah. I've already, let me say this. I've already made decisions in my life to not have additional money to avoid the chance of going to jail. So, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
It wasn't $60 billion, but it was more money than I had at the time, obviously.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you so much to everyone who sent in those questions. Like John said, we'll do this. We'll throw the bat signal out there again for next week's podcast. But that's all we got for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to do all the 5-star subscribe-ity type shit. We appreciate you, and we'll see y'all on Thursday. Peace.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.